Should there be tough global financial reform?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We're going to get a take on the global perspective now, what's happening in business and economics around the world, and how it affects us here in the United States. In this country, the banking industry seems to have successfully softened the sting from Washington's financial reform crackdown, but there could be tougher rules yet to come from a little town in Switzerland called Basel. That's where a committee representing nearly 30 countries meets later this week. Here's Marketplace senior business correspondent Bob Moon.
I won't even bother with the panel's fancy 14-word-long title, but its first goal is enhancing the resilience of the banking sector. Financial markets, though, are already showing jitters over what might come out of the gathering. At Institutional Risk Analytics, Christopher Whalen says it's little wonder, given the committee's last round of rulemaking in 2004.
The Basel II framework gave us the pretense that you could, in fact, regulate things like credit default swaps, which are really impossible to price or regulate correctly.
Whalen argues this round, aimed at fixing things, is no different.
Ultimately, what Basel is about is convincing us these large global enterprises can be managed effectively, essentially trying to put lipstick on the pig, but it's still a pig.
Some analysts are warning the committee could end up burdening the banks at just the wrong time, making it even tougher to find a loan. Global regulators have been hinting they want banks to hold on to significantly more capital so governments won't have to come to the rescue again. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
The Food and Drug Administration meets tomorrow to decide whether a blockbuster diabetes drug is unsafe. This morning, a look at what's at stake for the drug's maker and for the FDA. From the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Gregory Warner reports.
The FDA slapped a warning label on the drug called Avandia in 2007 when scientists said it was linked to heart attacks and strokes. GlaxoSmithKline, the maker of the drug, responded with counter-studies saying it was safe, but sales of the drug plummeted. Glaxo was accused of knowing about safety risks and concealing them from the FDA.
This is like Vioxx Redux.
Bob Goldberg is with the Center for Medicine in the Public Interest. He says that just like with Merck's controversial painkiller, the FDA is trying to keep the discussion about science, but it keeps becoming about politics. At tomorrow's hearing, FDA researchers will testify that senior officials underplayed their concerns about the drug's safety.
If they decide to keep it on the market, they'll be slammed as tools of the industry. If they pull it off the market, the commissioner and the agency's senior leadership will give veto power to all drugs on the market to two or three unelected individuals.
And that has the pharmaceutical industry watching very carefully. I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are mostly higher in Europe right now. Markets are up about 0.5%, except for shares in France that are pretty much mixed right now. Asian shares were mostly higher today. The Nikkei gave back a little bit, 0.4%. Wall Street Friday, stocks managed to add more than 0.5%. The Dow tacked on 59 points to close at 10,198. For the week, the Dow was up 5%.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, committed to customer service with the option to reach a human being at any time at 877-247-ALLY by pressing 0. By the new Harvard Business Review, the July-August issue is on newsstands now, featuring an in-depth interview with Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz. And by MassMutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at massmutual.com/mutuality.
Never mind that sending mail through the post office is becoming old school these days, and that you can make money, perhaps, through investments such as stocks and bonds, or at the very least, a simple savings account. Fortune magazine's Alan Sloan says he wants to start the week talking about a way to get a nice, assured, tax-free return on something that sounds so square. He's with us now. Hi, Alan.
Hi, Steve.
So what are you talking about?
I'm talking about forever stamps, and this has to do with the rate increase. And if you sit and crunch the numbers, you'll realize that's a 4.5% increase over the current rate. So if you buy forever stamps now and you start using them next year, your annual return is 8 or 9% tax-free, which these days is not bad.
Now, these forever stamps, Alan, were marketed by the post office as a way to, okay, you can get in on whatever the stamps cost now and never have to pay the increase as long as you have these forever stamps. Did they anticipate that people would be buying these and hoarding them like yourself?
They anticipated that people would be buying them. And the other thing they want is they don't want everybody showing up at the post office the day the rate goes up buying 2-cent stamps. So this makes their life easier, plus they get paid up front.
What's the point then in raising the rate if people are just going to buy forever stamps?
Well, the point is not everyone's going to buy a forever stamp, and other rates are going up as well. Packages and express mail.
And what else are they talking about to raise some money? I know they were, what, $3.5-4 billion in debt last year. What else are they doing to sort of shore things up?
Well, as you know, they're talking about cutting Saturday service, which I suspect in the end they're not going to get to do for political reasons.
Political reasons? What do you mean political reasons?
Well, Congress has to approve cutting this, and a lot of businesses don't want mail delivered less frequently, and I suspect an average person would rather get mail delivered 6 days than five.
So Alan Sloan says yay to collecting and hoarding forever stamps from the post office, but nay to nixing Saturday delivery service. Is that right?
That would be my prediction, but I'm just being a good journalist and trying to figure out how we can make a buck off of this.
Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan with us. Alan, thank you.
You're welcome, Steve.
And finally, Brian Boland of Thetford, Vermont, built a 25-foot structure under which people in the town could gather and talk for free. It's a dinosaur made of wood planks and debris. Now, people in the town are saying they either like its roadside Americana look or hate its tackiness and hodgepodge appearance. And it could cost Boland some money. The town says the dinosaur is technically a building, and that runs $272 for a permit. The state says because he built on redeveloped land, that's even more money in fees. And so Boland may dismantle the structure, sending the Vermontosaurus into extinction. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. Catch us online at marketplace.org in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.